all over again? I want to do good. I want to do good. And so it says, if you feel isolated, become a better listener. If life feels meaningless, volunteer. Doing good deeds is stimulating. And you develop a happy spiral in which you want to do more good deeds. Especially if you do good things you're good at, you'll be happier. Favors may be returned with more favors, quid pro quo, and you'll feel socially connected, which is good for your happiness and health. Doing good deeds anyways. And not least, alongside the benefits to yourself, you can actually be helping other people. God bless you for your good deed. Which is a good way, says, to spend your time. And then she says, but helping others can backfire too. And we know that. And so this morning, doing good deeds anyways. And so what I want to say is, with other people in situations, even in well-meaning amongst us as, Christian people, with, the horns are sinking in and halos are coming out and so on, it's that things backfire. I remember as a kid, some of you may remember this, Cliff. There was a commercial on TV. Am I mistaken? I forget what it was about, but it showed like maybe a Boy Scout going up to help grandma across the street. And the Boy Scout would go up to the grandmother, help, and she'd start beating him off, thinking that wasn't there a commercial like that or there's something like that, And it's like, I'm this poor little Boy Scout trying to help grandma, and she thought probably he was mugging her or something, and beats him off. And as I said, we experience where our good deed, the good that we're trying to do, in one way or another, backfires. But it never backfires with God. Let's pray. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, as we look into this word this morning, doing good anyways, that you would speak into our lives, speak into our church lives, speak into our family lives, speak into our personal lives. Meddle with us, Lord, that we might be all that better equipped to do good anyways. In Jesus' name I pray. And so, water break. And so what we do for God, it never backfires and is always, always, always rewarded. No, what we do for God never goes unrewarded. Now, I want to draw your attention to two quick stories in the Scripture. And the first comes from Luke 21. And it's a story that has been known, the widow's mite from the old King James that you might recognize, or the widow's offering. Now, this message, let me preempt it by saying, and you'll see how this works out, is not about giving money. Not opposed to talking about that, but I'm just saying, I don't want you to get confused here. This is not about giving money, all right? It's about entirely something different. And so it says in this incident, as Jesus was in Jerusalem, he was at the church, at the temple, and it was, and he was in the place where people could give offerings. It was offering time. And it says here in verse 1, it says, as he looked up, Jesus saw, actually better to read, Jesus was watching the rich put their gifts into the temple treasury. Jesus was watching them give their offering. And then it says, he also saw, better to say, he was watching a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. Really, Jesus? He says, yes. He says, because these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Jesus looks upon where it comes from. I want to be careful not to add any commentary because I need to make a point. And then, now, just to say this that you need to know, that it was like pennies. She put in pennies into the offering. Pennies. Okay? If not, you could say maybe even the comparison would be more real to say she put in 2 cents. Okay? The next is in Acts chapter 10. And this is a well-known incident of a guy by the name of Cornelius. And it says, at Caesarea, chapter 10, verse 4, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, and was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout and God-fearing. He was a Roman. And it says God-fearing, devout. And it says he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius! Cornelius stared at him in fear. Who is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial before God. And then he gives him some instructions where he meets Peter, who shares with Cornelius and his entire family the gospel of Jesus, and tremendous things happen in their family. And so I want to ask a question. In the context of what we're talking about here, what do a poor widow and an Italian soldier have in common? What do they have in common from this story? Think about it with me. Be careful before you answer. Giving heart. True. I'm taking it someplace else. Here's what I think they have in common. The good that they did got God's attention. The good that they did got God's attention and consequent reward. Notice again. Think about it for a moment. Jesus positions himself in maybe somewhat of a conspicuous, who knows, place while they're coming up to give. And it says, in the language, it doesn't just say Jesus saw. It's in the imperfect tense. It says he was watching. You know, just he saw it, marked it, move on. No, he was watching this happen. He's taken notice, and he notices this poor widow. She got his attention. And the same with Cornelius. Here is a man, God-fearing, devout, he came to that. Obviously, he was influenced by the Jews amongst whom he was living. And his life, and yes, and his giving and so on, got God's attention. Got his attention. And what I want to say is that the good that you do, the good that you plant, if you will, today, with God's help, will come up in a harvest tomorrow of benefit, of reward from him. And I want to associate that in your thinking. When you come to the last book of the Bible, come to the last chapter of that last book, where he is summing all things up, And he says to us there in Revelation 22, he says, I'm coming quickly, Jesus says. And he says, I'm coming quickly, and my reward, the rewards I have for all those who have done what? Good is with me. So that God takes notice and it rewards the good that you and I do. In Galatians chapter 6, the first several verses where we read about, I think from verse 6 on, where we read about where he says, don't be deceived, you know, don't be fooled. Whatever you sow is what? You're going to reap it. And we see how that principle works in so many different, it's a universal principle, isn't it? Comes up in so many different areas of our lives. And he begins to speak about this to where he says, so don't grow weary and well. Don't stop planting. Don't stop the work of doing good, he says in that chapter, in that verse. He said, because eventually the good that you do is going to come up and work for you. And he says, keep an eye on it for doing good to everybody. And then he says, but especially to the church, the household of God. In those verses. And so let me boil this down now. All right? When it seems like it backfires, what do you do? What do you do? And, you know, I've been in situations where, obviously, pastoring for as many years as we have, and, you know, being with people as we are, and in my own life being a person, and you know, you do good and it backfires, and there's this tendency to retreat. Or you know the old saying that says, once bitten, twice shy. You know, which is the same thing. You know, it backfired. You know, maybe you did something good. So, hey, you know. And I mean, there's all kinds of other things that go into this, and I want to stick to my point, and I'll get there quickly in and out. And so it's like, but, you know, what do you do? What do I do so that I do good anyways to have this settled that God always, always, always rewards the good that I do. That so many of the things I can say about this, because I want to connect it to what I have been saying and how I have been saying that God has a work for each one of us, that I don't become who I am in my humanness according to his creation and redemption unless I walk in that path, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the good works that God has beforehand prepared that we should what? Do and walk in. So that he has good for all of us to do. I want to engage in that for so many reasons. And then there are backfires and get hurt, there's hurts, there's all these things. And so what do I do? What do we do? When it seems like it backfires. I think that's the first thing. The first thing to keep in our minds is that it seems like it backfires. It seems like it does. It seems like it does because we have to keep in mind that God works out the situation always for good. So what seems like a backfire, hey, who knows? No, God's able to work in this. And as a result of working in this, what seems like a backfire is going to do something in me, do something in us, that looking on and seeing it for what it is, you know, is really not what it is, because God has been able to take that and do something that he means it for in our lives. Whew. He's able to make it good. The other thing is this, and this has really helped me so much from the life of Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, where it speaks about the life of Moses and how he read Israel. If you're reading your Bibles through, you've all, you know, this year for 2020, you have already gotten through the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, which is, you know, predominantly the story of Israel and how Moses led Israel, right? Out of Egypt, the bondage, all this stuff. And you think about Moses in that experience and all the, you know, all the things that Moses went through with Israel. I mean, you talk about a guy who took it on the chin. You talk about criticism. When you read that account, if you read it closely, you'll see the things that Moses went through with trying to get those people into what God had for them. I mean, in fact, when it comes to the end of Moses' life, all of his life given, all of his life focused on going into the promised land with the people, and God says to him, you're out. Can't go in. Because of a conflict that happened and the way he responded to it with the people. It's like, those people. And so, you know, you say, well, the good backfired, you know. And yet, there's something from Moses that it talks about in Hebrews 11 that has, that so helps me with this thing, with backfiring. Because it speaks of Moses in Hebrews 11, and when it talks about his life, you know, the heroes of faith chapter, Hebrews 11, you all knew that, right? Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith, and Moses being one of those heroes of faith. How was it? How was it that it says that the first thing is it says that Moses in verse 26, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. So that, you know, what do you do when it backfires? You have this Moses attitude. He kept his eye on the prize. There's a greater treasure to be had as a result of the reward that I'm going to receive from Christ than the way in which this thing has presently backfired. There's a reward. There's a treasure involved here that, man, I keep my eye on that. That's what I'm going for. See, it's not, see, what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter, the Sermon on the Mount? He said, don't do it to what? Be seen of people. Don't see it. Don't be doing it for this. In fact, he says what? Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not adverse to recognition, to honor, to all of those things. No. But if that's where you're at with your doing good, it will blow up in your face and you will blow up with it. But man, when I keep my eye on that prize, there's a treasure here, there's reward coming. And then the second thing that Moses did was this. Look at what it says. It says that he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. That Moses was able to navigate through the thing that was backfiring. Through the thing that, you know, hey, I'm just trying to do something good here, and look what's happening. It says that Moses was able to persevere through this thing because he was doing it for God, not primarily for them. He says he saw him who is invisible. And we have to remember, and we have to look to the one that we are ultimately doing it for. The good I'm doing, I'm ultimately doing it for the Lord. To please him and to fulfill what he wants for my life. Okay. Some of you may have heard of this poem called Anyways. I first heard this poem when I graduated from seminary many years ago, and our commencement speaker was Dr. Stephen Brown. The only two things I remember about my seminary commencement, the speaker, was the two things were he had a voice like a foghorn. He used to be on the radio, Dr. Stephen Brown, whatever. He had a voice like, it was an incredible voice that he had. And the second thing was this poem that he read to us, this poem called Anyways. Now, a couple of things about this poem. It's attributed, some of you may have seen it, Anyways, the Anyways poem, to Mother Teresa. No. Mother Teresa did not write this, did not come up with it, even though it's attributed to her. Many versions have been added to it, and those people have put their name to it. We don't know where it came from. I like the idea of it. Listen, anyways, I'm going to be going back and forth to a couple different ones here. It says, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Be kind. Anyways. Let's see. If you are successful, win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed. Anyways. Let's see. If you are honest and sincere, be honest and sincere anyways. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyways. Honesty and frankness may make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyways. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. Give the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyways. In the final analysis, I like this, the last one. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyways. Let's stand together. What's the title of my message? Anyways, doing good anyways. So we're going to pray. And I pray that you be helped by this, if not now, coming up. But you be helped by it. Lord Jesus, thank you for this word, and God, how it is as I speak this word, this is about me. This helps me, this word. This word is where I often have to go to live. Find you, the greatest treasure of all. And I pray that you will help us so that, God, that we are people who do good anyway. And all that that means may backfire in situations, circumstances, with people. But God, you see the good that we do, and there are eternal rewards coming, even if we don't feel them here and now. Help us, God, as your people, to see how it is that you have good for us to do anyway. I pray your blessing upon your people in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.